We're up to Paragala Pasig Dalit, Darchei Tzion Aveilois. The Darchei, we did the Rashi, just go through, we didn't do the Targum yet. Darchei Tzion Aveilois, the roads of Tzion Aveilois are in mourning, Nibli Vo'ei Moed, due to the fact that there are no individuals, there are no one that is coming any longer to the Oilel Regel. Kol Shorecha Shoimimin, all of the gates are desolate. Koyanecha Nenachim, the Koyanim, the priests are in a state of anguish. Bisilosecha nugos, the young maidens are nugos, what's nugos mean? In a state, same, it's the word nenochim, it's hard to find the difference between the word nenochim and the nugos. They're both very similar. Nenocha means to sigh. Nugos is yogon. Yogon is sorrow. They are in a state of sorrow. Vihi marlo, and she, the city, is very bitter, is embittered. We did already the Rashi, but again, quickly, Boy Moed, Oile L'Rogalim. The reason why is the state of mourning is because Mibli, there are no people coming any longer to be Oile L'Regel. Nugois, with regard to the Besilosecha, Nugois, Lashon Yogoin, Ve'ein Sharish B'teva, El HaGimel Levada. We did this yesterday. The Iker syllable of the letter is, of the word is the letter Lamed. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum says, agony, okay. Let's see the Targum elaboration. Targum says, Pasig Dalet, Kolzman, Dahava Yerushalayim Misbanya, as long as Yerushalayim was built up, was in existence. Sirivu Yisrael Lemesak LeYerushalayim, they turned, the Jewish people, they turned LeYerushalayim LeIshazah to appear, they would, they refused. Sirivu means we're now describing the sin of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, of the people of Eretz Yisrael. As long as Yerushalayim was built, they refused. This is, according to the Targum, we are explaining why they were punished. They refused. Sirivu, they refused Yisrael LeMesak to ascend LeYerushalayim LeIs Chazoah to appear Kodam Hashem Tla Zimnim B'Shata three times a year. The Al. And therefore, chol vehon, and because of their sin, the Yisrael, because of this particular sin, it's the di'as Yerushalayim. The word it's di'as means shemama. It has become desolate. The isavidu shevilei tziyot. That's all an introduction to the pasuk dalet. Before we even get to the beginning of the pasuk, the Targum already has elaborated and told us that there's some the background to the pasuk dalet. That during the years of the Beis Hamikdash, during the good times when there was an ability for people, they were able to go to Yerushalayim Oil L'Regel, they refused to do so. Why should we bother being Oil L'Regel? It's too difficult. They stayed home. That was a severe sin. And because of that sin, now the Pasuk begins. Now that we know the background, Darchei Tzion Avelos Mibli Moed.
When they stayed home, they still have Bamos?
No, you're not allowed to have bamos. It's forbidden. You're not allowed to. Well, the psukim, there are many psukim in Malachim that tell us that they did violate the laws and they did have bamos, and the kings were unsuccessful in putting the bamos to an end. They were unsuccessful, and the simple understanding is they let it go. It's like letting people read the papalach, the parsha sheets during Chazaras Hashatz. There's 100% against the halacha to read a parsha sheet that's lying on the table during Chazaras Hashatz. It is also, there's no rav that will tell you you're allowed to do so during Chazaras Hashatz. Exactly. So why don't we find rabbanim complaining and telling the balabatim not to do this? So the answer is they say halavai. They don't let it in. But okay. I'm talking about the average rav. You go to the average shul, you'll find it lying on the table, and you're not going to find rabbanim during Chazaras Hashatz telling people not to read. Why? Halavai, they should read it and not talk. It's the lesser of the evils. The lesser of the evils. So the simple understanding is that the reason why the kings did not put an end to the bamos is at least the bamos were l'shem shemaim. It's an avera, shchut echutz, ad kdei kach, it's chayv, chiv, karis. But anyway, the alternative would be that they would worship idols. So it was almost like an avera l'shma. Yeah?
They were just indifferent.
Right. And okay. They didn't. They didn't. Well, they were doing avoda in their backyards on the bummels.
Some, but okay. I think the main thing is they were just indifferent to.
Okay. All right. Okay. So let's see over here the pasuk. The blue targum continues. Now that we know the background, the first sentence of the targum is telling us the background that during the good years they refused to be oil l'rayel. Therefore, in punishment, the base hamidosh now is destroyed. The is avidu shvilei tzion avelon. Therefore, now avidu means it has become the roads of tzion avelon midles or elba bezman moada. Now it's completely in mourning, and no one will be able to go there during the festivals, period. So, midah keneged midah. When you had the opportunity to be oil l'regel, you chose not to do so. Therefore, now when you want to do so, I'm going to prevent you from doing so. Now when you want to do so, you will not be able to do so. Furthermore, the pasuk goes on to describe the gates, called tar'oha tzadion. All the gates are desolate. Okay, the word sadion is, we had that before. It's like the word before, it's didias. It's desolate. V'chahana onchin. And the Kohanim now are sawing. What are they sawing about? The Targum elaborates. Aldi v'tilu korbonaya. The fact that the avoda is bottled. They no longer have a job. They're out of a job. They're no longer able to... Well, it doesn't say besides that, but here it's interesting. The Targum doesn't. No one had food. Everyone was starving.
No, but if there are no carpets, the Kohen loses
out on the gifts, on the Zeroya, Lechayim, Yakeva, the Basa, Kashakadosh, Mechanaim. But here it says that the Avodah was bottled. Next, now here we come to, we mentioned yesterday very briefly at the end of the Shir, Besul Soha, the maidens, Softon. They are mourning, they are lamenting. What are they upset about, the young girls? Shidduchim. Aldi paskul mepak b'chamsha asar yomin ba'av. Due to the fact they no longer can go out and celebrate, dance on the 15th day of Av, uv'yoyim ha'dikipuraya, and on Yom Kippur, di hu v'asro yomin, because it tells when is Yom Kippur. I don't know why he has to do this. Dihu v'asho yomin b'tishrei, the 10th day of Tishrei. Why is it? Of course Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Tishrei. Okay, for some reason he mentioned
the 15th.
Okay, Yom Kippur, which is the 10th day of Tishrei. L'chinga means to dance. L'chinga means to dance. B'chinugin in the circles. Avhi merid libo l'chada, and he Yerushalayim is mourning. He Yerushalayim has a very bitter heart. Here, according to the Targum, he adds in the word heart. Libo l'chada. L'chada means very much. Very much. Her heart is very bitter. Okay, so we mentioned over here, this is a very interesting idea, is just a brief review. You mentioned yesterday, this is an incredible yisoid, is that in the beginning of Sefer Eicha, we learn about that the Churban brought with it the tsar, or the frustration, the difficulty, the lack of siyata d'shmaya in shidduchim. Shidduchim, something which requires enormous siyata d'shmaya, and that siyata d'shmaya existed in a much greater degree bizman shebeis hamigdash hayakayim, and that was illustrated with this dance, this double dance on Tu B'Shvat, on Tu B'Av, and on Yom Kippur, when the girls would go out in the vineyards and wear white clothing that was borrowed one from another, and would present themselves in front of the boys, and shidduchim would be made. Now that the beis hamigdash has been destroyed, it says bistulosechu nugos, they are in a state of yogon, because this ceremony is no longer in existence, and the greater depth of this is, it means that there is a hester panim in the process of shidduchim v'zivugim. Okay, let's go to some other ideas. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, Hayu Tzareha L'Rosh. Her enemies became her head. Rosh means became in charge. Oyveha Shalu, her enemies were at peace, at state of serenity. Ki Hashem Hayga Al Roiv Pishoecha, because Hashem, and what's a good translation for the word Hayga? To break? To what?
To be in the habit of.
Hoigah, I thought it meant to break. Ki Hashem hoigah, Hashem broke her. How do you want to translate hoigah? We look, hid'iva, caused her sadness. The Rashi says hid'iva. It's another word for sadness. The Targum seems to say to break her. I will see. Let's leave it now. Let's leave it now for the moment. Hoigah over here.
Go a few ways.
Okay, so we'll go. It's a hard word to translate. Hoigah, ki Hashem hoigah al kuroif pishrecha. Well, right now we'll translate it simply, Hashem has saddened her. Hashem has caused her sadness. Hid'iva.
Well, what you're doing is you're translating it the same way you translated yigoh.
Right, yeah, so it's the same sharish.
Maybe.
It's close to the same sharish, okay, maybe. It's similar to the word ne'enochim, nugois, marla, another word, hayu tzorech olerosh, oyvecha shalu, ki Hashem hayu ka Hashem has saddened her, in punishment, al roiv pish, echa, due to the abundance of her sins, oyla leha, halchu shivi lefnei tzor, her youth, went in captivity before the enemy. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasikei, shalu yoshim b'shalva. Her enemies, they sit in peace. It's painful for us to witness when one person is suffering, when you witness other people at peace, that increases, intensifies the pain. Hoiga, Rashi translates hid'iva, caused her to be sad. The hu lashon yagon, similar to what Rashi said for nugos, besulosecha nugos, and here we have the same idea. Let's take a look at the Targum Pasukei. Havu miikoha, miikoha means, havu miikoha means her enemies. Miikoha means enemies. Havu, her enemies were, mismanon Allah, appointed Aloha upon her, liration as people who are in charge, as an authority. Her enemies became her authority. Mi'i koha, interesting word, it means again the enemy was appointed upon her as a head. Uvale de vava, and the enemies, the people who always would quarrel with the Jewish people, havu yasvin b'shalva, they remained in a state of serenity, they were at peace. Arum, because, or Arum means because, Hashem tivar yisa. The Targum is translating the word hogah not as saddened, but rather as broken. Hashem broke her. Hashem broke her. Why? Because of roiv pishoecha al sagias mirodah, the abundance of her rebellion, Rav Yehah. So they have two words which mean the same thing. Sagias means abundance. Rav Yehah means abundance. And mo Miroda means her rebellion, due to her enormous rebellion. And the pasuk concludes, Ozlu bishiv yasa kadam mei koha. We had that word in the beginning of the pasuk. Mei koha means her enemies. And the captives went in exile before her enemies. Oylecha ozlu bishiv yasa kadam mei koha. Doesn't say the youth, the children. No, sorry, Rav Yehah. I left out a word. I made a mistake. I told you Rav Yehah means abundance. I made a mistake. Only Sagias means abundance. The last few words of the Targum are Rav Yehah, Azlu, Beshiv Yosah, Kadam Mi'ikaha. Her children went in captivity before the enemies. Okay, so we have here the Targum and Rashi. So far we have take note that there is a machlokes, the word Hoigah. Hoigah means saddened, to cause her to be sad, or Hoigah means Hashem has broken her. In punishment for roiv pishrecha, her enormous sins, her great sins. Okay, there are a few things. First of all, we have here the idea of oyevecha shalu are in a state of peace, tranquility, which we explain simply to mean that when we were in a state of tsar, we took note how the world continued to operate business as usual. I remember once reading a horror story. Person suffered a very great tragedy. She wakes up in the hospital, and he's informed. You know, he himself is in a state. He's not well, and he's informed that some of his relatives are even in a worse state than him. And he looks outside the window, and he sees this traffic, and the people walking on the street, and the sun is shining. And the reaction is, how can the world continue to exist? in my world has been destroyed. I'm sitting here in the hospital. I'm in a horrible state, this horrible situation on all sides, and the world continues to go on. Why doesn't the world want to have empathy for me? Share my tsar. The answer, it's a ridiculous question, because you may be in a very, very sad state of affairs, but the world continues to go on. But looking outside and seeing how everyone is healthy and everyone is vibrant and everyone is successful, and you're locked up here in a hospital, a very bleak outlook on life, that intensifies the pain. Misery loves company. And when you don't have company, then the misery is intensified. That's simply what the pasuk means. Here we are in a very dire state, and we look at the world, all of our enemies, they're enjoying prosperity. They're successful. The world goes on. That intensifies our bitterness. If we were suffering together, the whole world was suffering, okay, so we're suffering and they're suffering, we're all in this together, misery loves company, would not be so bad. Part of the tsar was, our enemies are in a state of serenity. That is one interpretation. Another interpretation, this is a bit more homiletic interpretation, that our enemies made peace against each other in order to harm us. Today, one of the biggest brachas that we have going for us is that there's a world war going on between the Shiites and the Sunnis. There's a war going on between Hezbollah and ISIS. There's a war going on between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. Everyone is fighting with each other. Syria doesn't get along with Jordan. Jordan doesn't get along with Saudi Arabia. Iran doesn't get along with Iraq. Everyone is fighting. Now, if you'll ask each one of them, what's the common denominator? Who's your number one enemy? Israel, the Jewish people. That's, but the bracha that Hashem has given us is that they're so busy fighting each other, they don't have time to deal with us. That's an incredible bracha. The war, the upheaval that's going on in the world, we the news, they look at it, oh, the whole world's coming to an end. That's a big bracha for us. Because if they were all at peace with each other, then what would they start doing? Chepping with us. Halacha biyodeinu, Esav soinei liyakov. The pasuk here says, Oyeveha shalu. You know why the Churban happened? You know why the Churban happened? Because all of the enemies, all of our enemies, Hezbollah, Lebanon, ISIS, Iraq, Egypt, Iran, Saudi Arabia, they all made peace with each other. They all sat around the table. They all were at peace. They all made peace. So then, so what are we going to do now? Halacha biyadeinu, Esav soinei liyakov, we'll go and we'll start up with the Jewish people. That's why the Churban happened.
That's the Gemara statement about
your mamia
shel hekel.
Yeah.
That is split up into many
factions.
Yeah. For it, because the Gemara said if they ever got together, they could destroy the world.
The whole world, exactly. So here, this is what the pasuk says, that they did destroy us. They destroyed the Bayis, Yishu Bayis Sheni, and the only way they succeeded in Tzoreha L'Roish is because they all made peace among themselves. Oyveha Shalu Lashon of Shalom. Okay, next. Next idea is, now we interpret this pasuk simply to mean that our enemies, Tzoreha L'Roish, Oyveha Shalu, but there's another interpretation which refers, it's a more of a Hasidisha approach. Anyone Tzoreha, who has pain over the Jewish people, meaning that their mishtatef and the tsar, if a person, a member in Klal Yisrael, has tsar, seeing trouble in Klal Yisrael, Larosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevates this person to greatness. If you live your life with indifference, you look around and you see other people suffer, other people have problems, and you couldn't care less, so that type of person will remain a nothing. A person sees other people have problems. You have to translate these words very loosely. You take in the pain of other people, and you have sympathy for them. You have empathy for them. You try to help them with their problems. Larosh, such a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes note of, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevates him to greatness. Oyeveha Shalu, on the other hand, anyone that Shalu, that says peace to me, I'm not interested. This guy has a problem, it's not my problem. Leave me alone. I'm at peace with myself. Such a person Hashem considers to be the enemy number one of the Jewish people. If you don't have sympathy and take and help out someone else in difference, then you become in Hashem's eyes the enemy of the Jewish people. Again, that's more of a chas. What?
Why is the shalom
The shalom without a mem? Because simply means tranquility. Shalu means they are at a state of peace with themselves. I don't know more than that. Okay. Now, by the way, here in the Sefer I'm reading from the Sarasi Bamedinos, he quotes Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, I don't have all the details, but he says, this idea, Tzarecha L'Rosh, it's so true today, is not only non-Jews. We think that we have a Chazal that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow a nobody to start up with Klal Yisrael. If a person wants to start up with Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first elevates this individual, this nation, to a world power, to a great power, so that no one should say that a low life, a nothing, has inflicted harm upon Klal Yisrael. Hashem only, when Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, Hashem at the same time gives honor to Klal Yisrael. What
is it that if someone wants to build a reputation as a big dog, then they start up with Israel?
They start up with Israel. So the only way to be guaranteed success is to make trouble. To make trouble for Klal Yisrael, you're guaranteed to be L'Rosh. This is a Chazal, so you would think that this only applies among the non-Jews. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says it's not so. Even among Jews, we have many of them, unfortunately. Even someone who is a religious person or a non-religious person who is a Jewish, if they will attempt to defame Klal Yisrael, to look out for all the problems, you can be guaranteed success. At least in this world. L'Rosh. Tzarecha L'Rosh is not miyuchad for the non-Jews. Tzarecha L'Rosh, even an internal enemies among Klal Yisrael, will automatically be rewarded in this world, and of course ultimately suffer the punishment in the next world, to be elevated L'Rosh. Okay, furthermore, it says here, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, it's not limited. Well, they become very... Let's talk about bloggers. Okay, there are certain bloggers, anti-Haredi bloggers. They have incredible stature. Look at the comments. They can write the comments. You can see, you get a taste of how many followers they have. Why do they have what's such a reputation? So many followers. Look at some of the newspapers. The newspapers that are bent on destroying the Orthodox community. They're obviously they're very successful. So that's all a part of a kiyum of Rav Chanan Wasserman when it says Tzarecha L'Rosh. It's not just Germany. It's not just Nazi Germany. It's not just all the the Kazdim. Chazal said the Kazdim was a nothing nation. No one had any paid attention to the Kazdim, the Babylonians. They were an afterthought. It's like some nation you never even heard of. You ever listen to the United Nations that look around all the countries, try to pronounce some of the names of these countries? You never heard of these countries before. This was the Kazdim. No one ever heard of them. All of a sudden, they became a world power because the Kazdim were the ones that were bent on destroying Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael elevated them to become L'Rosh. Rabbi Chanan says, you think it's only true when it comes to Goyim, people who are from the Umos Olam? It's even true among us. If you'll find a person, even a religious person, the Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and he just has a Mishagas, he's just bent on destroying his own, he'll also be elevated L'Rosh. Kamsu Bar Kamsa, because of Kamsu Bar Kamsa, so Kamsu Bar Kamsa, he had an audience with the Kesar. How did he have an audience? The Kesar doesn't give an audience to anyone. Obviously, he had a special relationship he was elevated to a very high position in government, where he was able to have an audience with Kesar and to go and be malshin upon Klal Yisrael. It's a principle of Hayut Tzarecha L'Rosh. Empty cans make a lot of noise. It doesn't take very much. This is a supernatural metzias that it doesn't take very much in order to harm Klal Yisrael. They'll automatically be elevated L'Rosh. It's a very scary idea. Okay, now there's an interesting idea what it means here, Ki Hashem Hoigal Roi Peshoachan. I saw this not over here, but in a different sefer. I don't have it here with me. He explains as follows. I don't know who says this, but we're reading, the psukim are very hard to read. We read Eicha. The word Eicha appears only one time. When we learned Yeshaya, other Nevi'im,
one time here.
In the very beginning, the sefer Eicha Yashua Badat. So when we learned some of the other Nevi'im, we always learned a rule that you have to add words, repeat words multiple times. Just because it says the word once, it doesn't mean it should be read once. You should really read the word many times. It's an invisible word. Here as well, we can apply that style. Eicha Yashva Badat, period. Nochamo. Eicha Ha'ir Abosiyam Ha'isa Kalmana. Eicha, how could it be? Rabosi Vagoyim Sarosi Vamadinois Ha'isa Lamas. Okay, the word Eicha is meant to be repeated over and over again. It was never meant to be read once. We're very used to reading the Nevi'im like we read the New York Times. It's linear. You read the word once. There might be some typos. There might be some grammar mistakes. You just read as you go along. No, that's not the way you read a pasuk in Nach. A pasuk in Nach, you have to sometimes read it backwards, sometimes take a word here, word there, and many times you have to repeat words over and over again in order to have understanding of what the pasuk means to say. And the psukim, they're not going to repeat the words for you. That's just not the way Nach is written. Nach is written in a short form. It's written in a code form, and you have to know the style, how to interpret, decipher the text. Here, we have to take the word Eicha. It was meant to be repeated multiple times. And Eicha simply means how, why. Why did this happen? Eicha. How did it happen? Yashva Vadad. How did it happen that this city is Yashva Vadad? Period. Eicha, ho'ir Rabosi Yom Ha'isa Kalmana. Eicha, how did it happen? Rabosi Vagoyim, Sarosi Vamdinos, Ha'isa Lamas. Keep on going. Eicha, how did it happen? Bochu Sivke Balayla Vidimosa Lechia, Eilam Menachem Mikolaya Vecha. Eicha.
Bring this up now.
Eicha, now, that's what I'm coming to. That's where I'm coming to. Eicha, how did it happen? Kol Ro'echa Bogdu Vahoyula Lo'ivin. Eicha. Eicha Yashav Agoyim. Okay, we keep going. Eicha, all the Eichas. Eicha Darchei Tzion Avelos. We believe Vayimoyed Kol Shirach Hashemim Kenecha Nachem. Keep on repeating it. The answer is, you know what the answer is? So here, and Eicha, one more Eicha. Eicha Pasikei Hayut Tzarech LeRosh Oyvecha Shalu. How did it happen that her enemies were LeRosh and Oyvecha Shalu? Now, after asking the word Eicha probably 10 times, it's interesting, how many times can you fit in the word Eicha? Probably, and that's also interesting, you know, the numbers here mean a lot. The Eicha is in the letters of the Aleph base. Even the word Eicha we mentioned is Aleph is Hashem, Yud is Aser Sadibros, Chaf is the 20th generation when the Bris Milah was given, Hey is Chamishachim Shetorah. Every number is very precise. It could very well be that there's an exact number of Eichas you can fit in, but the point I'm bringing this up now is because now comes the answer. The answer to all of the Eichas is Ki Hashem Hoiga Al Roiv Peshoeha. Hoiga, now we began with a very question, what is the translation of Hoiga? So Rashi says, caused her sadness. Targum says, Hashem broke her. But Hoiga also means Lashon of Higayon. Higayon means thought, attention. Hashem was paying attention to all of her sins. Higayon is a word which means thought process, or again, contemplation, paying attention.
How do you translate
Vagisa? Oh, Vagisa Bayomum Valaila. Right, exactly. Vagisa, that's a different word. That's what Rashi and the Targum are now learning in this approach. Rashi and Targum are telling what the word Hoiga means. Rashi, they're struggling. If Rashi asks to tell us what the word means, obviously Rashi had a struggle. Rashi doesn't translate every single word for us. Rashi even hardly translates words. Rashi only says ideas. When Rashi translates the word, Rashi, it's a stop sign. Wait a minute. This word is a complex word. We got to figure out what it means. And they have multiple interpretations. So Rashi took sides, and Rashi says Hoiga means Hid Iva, Davon. Davon means sadness. Hashem caused the Jewish people to be sad, Al roiv pishrecha, because of her abundant sins. Targum doesn't like that for whatever reason. Targum says hayga means to break, it's to crush, shever, to crush. Okay, another interpretation. But there's another interpretation of hayga means to pay attention. To pay attention, to take note of. Vihigisa bo yomam voloila. You shall pay attention, you shall study, you shall contemplate, you shall engage your mind in the Torah day and night. The answer to all of the Eichas, make-believe Eicha was repeated probably 10 times. How did this happen? How did this happen? How did this happen? You know what the answer to all of your questions are? Because Hashem was paying attention al roiv pishoecha, to your abundant sins. We finally now get the answer.
V'higisa
bo yomam v'loila. It means to study. Simply, we mean that it means.
Also means to repeat.
V'higisa bo yomam v'loila. Torah shall be toil. Toil in Torah, yigia. To toil in Torah. But in the from the context of yigisa, but what do you mean you toil? You don't turn the pages. It means your mind. It's a word which is used to refer to the mind. The mind is engaged in the content of the Torah day and night. Hoga means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overloaded. Server shutting down because it's overburdened with how many sins can I tolerate already? Every day there's another sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hoga. He's overburdened with being aware of Al Roiv Pishrecha. And that is the answer to all of the Eichas from the beginning of the Sefer until this point in time. Okay, I saw this idea in a Sefer called Kol Yaakov by Rabbi Ari Spiegel. He just put out recently 2 svarim in rapid succession, 2 very chashuv svarim, one on the Chumash Megillas and one on Tefillah. Very, very good svarim. And
the answer be at the end?
This is the end. That's exactly the point. This is the end. We have reached the end. There are many ends, many beginnings. But this is one end. This is one end. What the beauty of this word is, he's telling us, why are you reading the pasuk here like a newspaper? Read the pasuk the way you read a pasuk in Yeshaya. When you read a pasuk in Yeshaya, almost every pasuk, the mitzvah says, you have to repeat the word again. The pasuk, you won't read a pasuk in Nach like you read a newspaper. The words have to be, it's a code. Repeat the words. The word Eicha was meant to be repeated over and over again. And Eicha means how?
This is why. The answer can be repeated also after each part.
No, this already is giving you an answer. This is a different flavor. Ki Hashem Hoigal Roi Pishoecha is, the word first of all is ki. Ki is an answer. Ki leads it. We didn't have a word ki until now. From the beginning of the Sefer until now, I do not believe there was even one ki. It's the first ki. It's the first ki. Ki always means, it's because of this reason. Arum. In the Targum, yeah.
This is why I say this volume, each pasuk from Perek Aleph to Perek Dalet has a samach at the end of the pasuk.
Has a samach.
Like a skula, like you have in the Sefer Perek.
Ki Hashem,
Hey, you see, I look at this.
You have in your Sefer samach. Ah, so it's the first same. It's the first samach.
Everyone. No, every pasuk.
Every pasuk has a samach.
Yeah, every
pasuk. I don't have a Moai edition. I have a different type of edition.
It's like you write the Sefer, you know.
Okay. That also has to be addressed, why that is so. Okay, but this is definitely. Okay, so this is another.
Because you want it. It's poetically written.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Okay. All right, let's now go to another idea. Hayut Sareha L'Roish. Now there is a Medrash. The Medrash says that although that's not always true, our enemies become L'Roish. They become great. Sometimes, when is it so, when is it not so? So the Medrash wants to say that there's something very unique about Nebuchadnezzar and even now, Nebuchadnezzar, did it say about Titus also? I'm not sure about Titus. Nebuzaradon, but they talk about the Bayis Sheni. Aspasios, that's the Bayis Sheni also. That's the Aspasios, the Bayis Sheni. That they were makir the creator, and they intended to rebel against him. They at least had the Maila that they acknowledged the Ribbono Shel Olam. Unlike Paro, who said, Ni Hashem. Medrash makes a very powerful contrast between the two. What do I? Because Paro, what happened to Paro? Paro at the end, we assume was a nothing. Nothing. He even if he lived to go tell the whole world what happened, but Paro lost his nation. Paro, Egypt was defeated, was destroyed. Rome, the people who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, they lived very long, successful lives. They outlived their empire. The empire lived on. Shalom Aleichem, Arikon. Shalom Aleichem. The empire lived on. They destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. It lives on. It goes on. Paro brought upon Klal Yisrael enormous harm. Kol Habein, Hayiloid, Hayoirat, Tashlichu. But ultimately, Paro was destroyed. His nation was destroyed. Why? Because Paro denied the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koylai. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Yet he said, nevertheless, I want to rebel. I want to go and subjugate his people. Therefore, that to some degree was a redeeming, not a redeeming quality, the harm he inflicted was off the charts, but they ended up with something at the end because at least they acknowledged the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, take that wherever that requires obviously a lot more elaboration, but not for now. Next, Al Roiv, it says over here, Al Roiv Pisho Echa. The commentators ask the question, the Pasuk should say, Al Kol Pisho Echa. Why does it say Hashem paid attention, Hashem saddened her, Hashem broke her for her Roiv? That's not the correct word. The correct word will be for kol pishoeha. So one interpretation of the Kadosh Baruch Hu was meichel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have punished us for all of our sins, we would never have survived. The only reason why we're here today is the Sheris HaPleit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to survive, was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meichel for a miut. And that's why it says roiv, roiv is a majority, not a miut.
It doesn't have to mean that.
Okay, there are different interpretations. I'm telling you one of many interpretations, but it's a very good question. Grammatically speaking, the correct grammar for the word would have been al kol pishrecha, not al roiv pishrecha. Answer number one: the Medrash, I think it's the Medrash, it says this: Hashem was moichel for some of the sins because Hashem knew that if He would punish us for all of the sins, we would not survive. There would no longer be a Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem had to forgive us, even at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, He had to forgive us for some of our sins. Another interpretation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very similar idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not look at a sin, the action. Hashem looks at the kavana. Hashem looks at the quality of the sin, not at the kamos of the sin. The word kol has the connotation of the kamos, the quantity. The roiv has a connotation of the echos, the quality, the roiv, the intensity of the sin.
You could look at it another way. Roiv means multitude.
Yeah.
Which also indicates quantity.
Which
because of the multitude of their sins.
The multitude of their sins means what?
Means how many.
How many? But that's not how the Mefarshim want to learn. If you want to learn the word kol, yeah, this is an idea. If you wanted to focus on the quantity of the sins, it would say kol pishoecha.
Rov chasodot, we say,
multitude. Okay. You have to study how the words are used in different contexts. But some want to say rov has a different connotation. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's davar pasha. When a person does an avera, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person's kavana. You could have two people who do exactly the same avera. One does it with spite, and one did it because he doesn't know better, or he does it without thinking that much. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, will punish the person that does it in spite much more than the one who does it just by an accident. Okay. Next idea really leads into the next pasuk. Here the pasuk includes Olelecha Holchu Shvi Lefnei Tzar. Now before we do the next pasuk, just take note the pasuk that begins Vayetzei Mibas Tzion Kol Hadorah. that from Tzion left, all of her splendor. Who is the splendor? The splendor refers to the Shechina. That from that until this point in time, until the Churban, the Shechina was resting in Yerushalayim. Now that the Churban has occurred, the Shechina has departed. The Medrash takes note of this, the juxtaposition of this psukim of the children and of the Shechina, and takes note that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina upon the children. When the Sanhedrin left, did the Shechina depart? No. The Medrash enumerates a whole list of things, that the Shechina, that did not affect the Shechina. I'll read you the Medrash. Amar Yehuda. Bohu ru'u kamo chavivin tinoikos. Look how precious children are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Golso Sanhedrin, v'loi golso Shechina imohem. When the Sanhedrin, we know that a number of years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin went into Golos. Just because the Sanhedrin, the seat of Torah, authority, left the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina remained. The Shechina still remained. Next. The Mishmaros, before the Beis HaMikdash, the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim were exiled. So what? The Shechina still remained in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Kevan, Shegolu Tinoikos, then Golso Shechina Yimohem. I think it's focusing back on the previous Pasuk. Go back to the previous Pasuk. It says, Pasuk Dalit, who are the She'oreha? What is a code for the Sanhedrin? Okay, big deal. The Sanhedrin, the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, are no longer to be found in the Beis HaMikdash in the Lishka Sagazes. Alright, is the Shechina still present? You bet. The Shechina is still there, even though there's no Sanhedrin. Next, Koyhanecha Ne'enochim. The Kohanim are in a state of sorrow. What does this mean? They're no longer serving the Mishmoros. The Kohanim have been exiled. Alright, big deal, no problem. Bisulosecha, now the Medrash does not focus on the significance of Bisulosecha Nugos, does not focus on that, okay, I don't know. But now, when it goes on in the next pasuk to say that Oilaleh Holchu Shevi, when the Kinderlach, when the children have now been taken away in exile, Lefnei Tzar, now first we have in Pasuk Vav a revelation, Vayetzei Mibasiyoin Kol Hadara. There are no children. There's no future for Klal Yisrael. Then you know what? The Shechina packs up its bags and the Shechina is out of here. The Shechina is gone. This lot of people, they ask Gedola, where should they give their big stock of money? Should they give the big stock of money to museums? Should they give the big stock of money to a Holocaust memorial? It's a good thing, right? One thing, you give money to the Met. Let's say you want to give money to make a Holocaust memorial museum. It's a very good thing. There's no question about it. Should you give money for Kollelim to support people sitting and learning Torah? Where should you give money? Where should you give? Should you give money to your local shul? I once heard someone ask me, should I give money to my local, or big money to my local shul? I told him, that's the last thing you give money to. I'm sure the rabbis would not want to hear that. But where do you give the big money? So it's not so clear, but you do hear this, that Gedolei Yisrael say you should give, the big money should be given for children. Should be given money for Tinoikosh Tashpa. Tinoikosh Shel Beis Rabban. Now, you know, that not everyone agrees 100%. Some hold that there also has to be a balance of supporting Koilin. There has to be a structure of high level of learning as well. I don't know, but you do definitely hear, every so often that the big money should go for Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban, and you certainly have a very strong support to that idea from this pasuk right here. You have the She'oreha, the Sanhedrin. This is the greatest of the great. This is Koil Chazoinish. Right, this is the heavy duty learning. Okay, so there's no Sanhedrin. The Shechina is still here. We'll survive. The Kohanim, the Avoida, beautiful shuls. Okay, go build a shul, go give money to go build a shul, $50 million shul. So there won't be a $50 million shul. So you'll daven in a basement. Klal Yisrael will go on. But when it comes to the children, there are no children learning Torah. That's it, it's over. It's over. The pasuk says, "Vayetzei mi basiyoin kol hadara." There's nothing to talk about. The ikar is that the children, there should be tinoikos shel beis rabban, learning and studying Torah. That is the primary source of shechina in klal Yisrael. It comes from right here, this medrash and this pasuk. Okay, now with that in mind, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayetze mibasion kol hadro. We take those two words. Those two words go together. Mibasion. They're merged into one word. Kol hadoro, all of her pride, all of her beauty, which refers simply. We'll see the Rashi, which with the targum, which refers to the Shechina and other things. We'll see in a moment. Hayu sodecha ka'ayolim. Her leaders were like ayolim. Ayolim are rams, and we'll see the meat of a ram is different interpretation of what this means. We'll leave for one moment. Lo matzu mered. The rams could not find pasture. Vayelchu v'loy koyach, and they went without koyach lefnei roidev, before their enemies. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav. Ayolim loy matzu mered. They were like ayolim which could not find pasture. So Rashi says, what is the significance of an ayol? Ayolim asher loy matzu mered she'ein lohem koyach levroyach. They were like ayalim. Rashi is not telling us the significance. We will have to wait for the midrashim in a few moments. But ayalim, which have no pasture, and when there is no pasture, Rashi is connecting the end of the pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk, to the end of the pasuk. If they have no pasture, they have no koyach. They have no koach. They don't bother running. Okay, someone explain this pasuk in more detail. That normally, when you're being pursued, your adrenaline glands are on overdrive, and you're granted supernatural koyach when there's a battle. The one that is about to lose has much more power than the ones that are about to win, because the people who are winning, they're winning al pi derech hatav. When you're under attack and you're surrounded and it's now or never, you're able to draw from within supernatural koyach to survive. So we would expect that Klal Yisrael, we're under attack and we were running away, we would find supernatural koyach to survive. That's how bad it was. Even the supernatural koyach we would expect to find from within was depleted. We were like ayalim she'en lahem nira. We had no koyach even to flee, and we just fell victim to our enemies. Okay, lefnei roidev. So Rashi here says that the word roidev is spelled mole. It could have spelled the word roidev without a vav. It would mean the same thing. What is the significance of spelling roidev with the vav? It's telling us, kol roidev shebemikra choser is lacking. There's no vav. V'ze mole. Why? Shenirdefu redifa shalema. It was a complete attack. We were under attack. We were pursued with the complete form. And on this, he's Ramis to the Python, I guess it's the Kalir, in the Slichos, during the Aseret Simei Tshuva, it says there, Ken Yosar HaPayot, Mole Roid Fossi, V'chosro Shnas Goyali. Shnas Goyali Bo Chasar... Shnas Goli Ba, that's a pasuk later on in the end of Sefer Eicha, Chosar Ksif. So the Kalir is taking note that in the beginning of Megillas Eicha, when it says Vayelchu V'loy Koyach Lefnei Roidev, Roidev is Mole. And at the end of Sefer Eicha, when we allude to the time when Mashiach will come, the Geula will come, it says Shnas Goli Ba. The year of my redemption is coming. There the word Goali is spelled, Goali is spelled Choser, lacking, the Vav is missing, to indicate the Geula is not coming so quickly. The Geula will come only with difficulty and it's lacking. Whereas our Golos, which is symbolized with the word Roidev, is spelled Mole. The Redifa, the Tsaris of Golos, are complete. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says, Unafak, and it exited, Min Kinishta dit Tzion, from the Kinishta of Tzion, Kol Zivaha. Zivaha means its beauty. Havu Rav Rivonoha. The children, the princes, Mistacharin, they were Misoivivim al Mechla, they were looking for food. So here it says Ka'ayolim lo yulotsu nira. So the Targum doesn't just mean that the Ayolim don't have nira. It means they're looking for food. One, if you read the pasuk in simile, you get the impression that Ayolim gave up. The Ayolim have no food, so no, they walk with their heads down. That's not what the Targum says. It says over here that they are mistoivivim al mechlo, they're searching for food. They're making their rounds. Hechma, just like Dim Sacharon Ayolaya Bimidbara, like the princes were searching for food, just like the Ayolim, they search in the desert for food, Veloy Ashkahu, and do not find it. And they did not find, I'm sorry, and then Velo Ashkahu Asar Koshar Limir Ehon, and they don't find a place that's proper kosher for pasture. And what happens then? Va'azalu Visashus Koicha. They go with weakness. Velo Havalahon Chelo. They have no strength. Limeroik to flee. To Leish. Hezvot, to be spared, kodam rode, before the enemy. They're not able to spare themselves. Okay, so that's the Targum. Now, there is another, this important medrash on this Targum, by Yelchu v'loi koyach lefnei roidei. What is koyach? Koyach, it's this week's parsha. It's very interesting. A lot of things over here that we're learning this week in Eicha have a correlation to this week's parsha. We learned yesterday about the Meraglim. That's this week's parsha. Lashon Hara. And here again we have another one where Moshe Benoni is mispalel v'ata yigdal no koyach Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Kadosh Baruch Hu in this parsha that may his koyach Hashem, may the koyach of Hashem be strong. Don't look at the evil report. Don't look at the sins of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel that Hashem should ignore the sin of the Meraglim. Yigdal no, may it be intensified, may it be made great, the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it says it did not happen. Corresponding to the pasuk, and now in this week's parasha, they go together, it goes with the Meraglim, that Hashem did not listen to Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer. That Yigdal no koyach Hashem should be strong, should be mavir al midoisav, should not allow the enemy to destroy the Jewish people. After they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, Hashem did not listen to that prayer, and the pasuk here says, as a rejection of that prayer, Vayelchu v'loy koyach. They went without koyach lefnei roidim. Which koyach? The koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefila yigdal no koyach Hashem. The two are connected. Koyach also, all the mepharshim take note, the word koyach refers to the Yehei Shmei Rabbah. How many letters are there in Yehei Shmei Rabbah? 28 letters. How many letters are there in the first pasuk of the Torah? 28 letters. Bereishis, there are 7 words, and there are 28 letters. So when we say, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach Li'olam Ulomel Maya, may his name be magnified by being mispalel, that Hashem's name be magnified, Hashem's name is now Choser, it's only Yudke. It should be Yudke, Vavke, whatever these Kabbalistic ideas mean, Hashem's name should become great. Hashem's should be known throughout the entire world. Pasuk here says it did not happen. It was a chilul Hashem. It's a very deep idea. What the pasuk here is telling us when we take the word koyach and we connect it to the Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Yehei Shmei Rabbah, the essence of saying Yehei Shmei Rabbah means Hashem's name should be sanctified. The opposite of sanctification is chilul Hashem. There is no greater chilul Hashem than the fact that Klal Yisrael is in Golos. The fact that we don't have control over Eretz Yisrael, the fact that the nations of the world challenge our legitimacy to live and control Eretz Yisrael is the greatest chil Hashem possible. So when Klal Yisrael now was exiled, the pasuk here, and what is the description of the opposite of Kiddush Hashem? Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach Le'olam Ulyolmei Olmayo. When Klal Yisrael, when they say this pasuk, this expression, Hashem's name should be magnified, that is the greatest honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we brought to this world Chilul Hashem. Vayelchu Klal Klal Yisrael went v'loy koyach. They went out of Eretz Yisrael with the opposite of saying Yehi Shmei Rabo lifnei roidef. So that's the very deep meaning of what of this pasuk. Okay. Now, what is the significance of the ayolim? So there are different interpretations. Some want to say is that when the ayolim, in time of Chazal, they were typically tied one to another. They were tied one to another, and they would walk single file. And when they walk single file, each ayol is looking at the rear of the ayol in front of him. Now that's a very unpleasant thing to look at. So the standing was true. This is describing the humiliation of the Jewish people when they were sent into exile. They went naked, and they were tied one to another. They were tied one to another, single file. See, each person was looking at the rear of the person in front of him. It was an extreme form of humiliation, which is typical among ayolim. Ayolim, when you have a herd of ayolim, you want to guide them in the desert, you want to transport them from place to place, you tie one to the other, they all walk single file, and they look right. This is more true by ayolim than it is with other animals. By sheep, it's not so. Sheep, you just let the sheep they naturally go in one group. We're dealing with horses, dealing with camels or donkeys. You don't have this type of structure, this type of procession. Ayolim have a unique characteristic that when they are guided on long distances through the desert or through a piece of land, they're tied, they walk single file, they look at the erva of the other. That's the humiliation that Klal Yisrael suffered when they went to exile. They were like the ayolim. That's one interpretation, that's one medrash. Another medrash says that the nature of the ayolim is that when they're starving, when they're very hungry, they don't look at each other. They turn their face from one another out of humiliation, out of tsar, take note that each other doesn't have what to eat. It's a mashal for the leaders. The leaders, the sorecha, when they saw their constituents sinning, the members of Klal Yisrael doing averos, they turned their face. They did not want to give them musar, rebuke them for the averos. They turn their face from one another, just like the ayolim. They turn their face from one another. They don't want to look at each other, and that's an explanation of why they suffered. Hayu sodach ayolim. They were like ayolim. They didn't want to give musar to Klal Yisrael when they saw that they did averos. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Zachra Yerushalayim yinei anya. Yerushalayim remembers its days of affliction. The days that stay. Okay, we'll read the Rashi in a moment. We'll read the whole pasuk. Yimei anya umirudecha, and the days of its tsar. Okay, umirudecha means its suffering. Another anya and umirudecha are two words which seemingly mean the same thing according to Rashi. The days
poverty.
Umirudecha. Okay, anya means poverty. Poverty and suffering. It remembers the days. No, that's not what it means here. That's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi here learns the word umirudecha means that someone is crushing you. You've been crushed. You've been humbled. We'll see the Rashi one more moment. Kol machamudecha shohoyo mimei kedem. Now that goes back on the word zachra. We have to repeat the word zachra. It's like zachra. Klal Yisrael remembers all of its treasures, which were present in the days of yore, days of old. Binfol ama biatzar, when the nation fell in the hand of the enemy, the enoy zerla, and there was no one to help her. Ru'ua sarim, our enemies saw our suffering. Sochaku, they gloated al mishbateha on its
downfall.
Okay, let's learn for right now. It means on its downfall. Okay, there are different translations for mashbateha. For right now, we'll learn it. We'll translate it. How does the Targum translate it? On its
captivity.
On shever. Shever is it's being broken. Al oishra shaposak, on its happiness that was taken away from it. Targum translates the word al chaychu al tuvaha. The fasak mi be the good, the shavach, that came to an end. Shavas, it comes from the word shavas. Sach al mishpata, they took joy in the fact that we have to add into the pasuk the good, the bracha has come to an end. So let's see Rashi first. Rashi over here is the Zochin Yerushalayim, the Galusa. So Rashi is coming to explain this very difficult pasuk. At what point in time are we remembering? We are remembering while we are in Galus today. Today, right now, while we are in Galus, we are remembering the Galus. Yimei Anya, Yimei Churbana Shehevia Lidei Oini. We remember the days of Churban. That does not say in the Pasuk. Those words have to be added into the Pasuk. We are remembering the time of our Churban, which brought us now in our Galus to a situation of Anya. Umirudecha, next words of Rashi, Hilosh and Tsar. The word Umirudecha means pain, kimo, viaradity, alohorin. What does that word there mean? It means arid besichi, it means I will bring suffering upon the mountains. Arid besichi viohima, I will mourn with crying and give out expressions of pain. So Umirudecha means another word for Anya. And that's not what we're remembering. We're remembering the Galus, the Churban, which brought upon us Anya, our affliction, Umirudecha. So it is the effect. The cause is the Churban, and the effect of the Churban is Anya, Umirudecha. Okay, next words of Rashi, Kol Nachem Odecha. The Zohar, we have to repeat the word Zohar a second time according to Rashi. The Zohar, Kol Tov Nachem Odecha, Shem Mimei Kedem. We remember all the good old days, all of the delicacies, all of the treasures of the previous times. Our enemies, they rejoice. Ben folayv amo biat sove no zelorus ruot sarim socha ku al mash al mish mishbateha Rashi somchu al shvisas misosa. Our enemies take joy in the fact that we no longer, it came to an end, the interruption of our joy. Now what's our joy? Chagah, Chadoshah, v'Shabbatah. Festivals, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos. Now what is it? What's the deeper meaning to do? Our enemies have pleasure. What? So our enemies have great pleasure that we no longer celebrate Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh. That is what the Rashi is translating. They have pleasure that's come to an end for us. Now, Medrash Agoda, different interpretation. Dar Shubloshan Acher Shayu Shayv Sin B'Goyla means just the opposite. That when Klal Yisrael went into Galus, all of a sudden we became religious. We did tshuva and we started observing Shabbos. We started observing Rosh Chodesh. We started observing the festivals. In fact, that's what Haman said. Haman said to Achashverosh that these people, they always sang Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. Every time you want them, you want to make an agreement. It's a Yom Tov. They're always telling us you can't do this, you can't do that. A Sabbath observer, Pesach, what? There's always a holiday. So the Goyim, so here, according to this interpretation, means Sahaku, they were mocking us. They were saying, all of a sudden, now when you're in Golis, you become so religious. We know the history. When you were living in your own land and you had a Beis HaMikdash, you weren't religious. So now in Golis, you've become religious. They were making Mitzanis, Medesh Agoda, Darshu Losh Nacher, Shayu Shayv Sim Goyle B'Shabbos Yom Tov. And in Golis, they observed, they became religious. Shabbos Yom Yom Tovim, V'Shayim Tim B'Shviyas, and they observed Shemitah. They were mocking the Jewish people. They would say, "Shaitan, the Aritzichem." When you had a Beis Hamikdash for 410 years, the Baal Shem for 420 years, Loi Shemartem. Then you were irreligious, and now all of a sudden, when you go into Golitz V'Yachshav B'Goyle Tishnerun, you're going to become religious all of a sudden. So this was the Litzanis that the Gumas Oilam made over Klal Yisrael when they saw how we interpret the pasuk according to Rashi. Sachok al mish al mishpatera. Okay, let me conclude with one last vart, then we'll do the Targum tomorrow. But I saw, I think in the Kol Yaakov, if I'm not mistaken, a beautiful idea. Maybe it was over here in the Sefer Shemei Medina. Is if a person works very hard to accomplish something, the person wins the lottery. He wins the lottery. He wins $1 million. Wonderful, having the bank now $1 million, and then all of a sudden there's a disaster, and I lose all the money. There's some emergency and all my money, all of a sudden the government comes along and I don't have the right insurance and they take away all my money. Alright, easy come, easy go. Alright, I never expected to earn $1 million, and so the money goes away. So how do I relate to the tsar of losing the $1 million? I have tsar, there's no question about it, but the tsar is limited. But what happens if I spend 50 years of my life sweating away, laboring away to earn $1 million? every day I wake up at 5 in the morning, bitter cold, the hot summer days, and I work until late at night. I labor, sweat away to earn $1 million. And now I'm already 70, 80 years old, and all of a sudden one day someone comes along and steals all my money. So the pain is immeasurable. You can't compare the tsar a person has to losing something that he sweated away to earn relative to the pain a person has when he loses something that he did not toil to earn. The pasuk over here says that there's a very deep, this idea is expressed al derech drush in this pasuk. It's a very elaborate pasuk. Pasuk is verbose. Zachar Yushlam Yimei Anya. Yushlam remembers, so Rashi tells us, it's very difficult to translate what this means. What does Yushlam remember? It remembers the Chorban. We have to add, according to Rashi, those words have to be added, invisible words need to be added into the pasuk. Yushlam remembers the Chorban. And because there's a Chorban, now the effect of the Chorban is we have Anya Umerudecha. That's what brought about our affliction, our poverty, and our suffering. And we, what else do we remember? We remember Kol Machamudeha Asher Hayu Mimekid in the good old days. And we remember this, we remember Binafol Amobiat Sarbe, Noizullah, then the pasuk goes on. The deeper interpretation is Yerushalayim remembers how difficult it was to conquer the land. Think about it. Look at the period of the Nevi'im. Look how sad this is. Look at what?
14 years.
More. The Shoiftim. It took 440 years of fighting battles. 40 years in the desert. And then another 440 years. Again, there were 7 years of major war. And another 7 years of division. But then there was another 440 years, or a little bit less, of the Pelishtim and battles and the Muhammads and Korbanos. The whole Sefer Shoiftim, half a Sefer Shmuel, is all about conquering the land in order there should be a whole, there should be an Achiza in Eretz Yisrael. So do you know how much blood was spilled in order to have an Eretz Yisrael? And now what happened? We had an Eretz Yisrael for 410 years, and now Yerushalayim was Chorav. Can you imagine if we would have just come into Eretz Yisrael and it been given to us in a split, in just like that, without any effort, any yigia, and then we went into Gaulis? All right, easy come, easy go. We left Egypt, we came into Eretz Yisrael. All right, easy come, easy go. But because we suffered so much to conquer the land, to preserve the land, that makes the Chorban that much more painful. And that's what the pasuk over here says. Zochra Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim remembers Yimei Onya Umerudecha. It remembers the 480 years that Klal Yisrael invested in conquering Eretz Yisrael. I know, there's 7 of Kibush Mechiluk, but it's not just 7 Kibush Mechiluk. It took still until they built the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't yet established. It was still weak. Can you imagine that tsar? And also remembers, and then it remembers the next 410 years. The next 410 years was the Machmudeha, the beautiful Beis HaMikdash with the Shechina and all of the Bracha. That combination is lethal. When you combine those two things together, the tsar that went into establishing Eretz Yisrael, plus the good old days, and now bin fol amo biatzar, when we fell in the hands of an enemy, the ein oizer lo reuah sodim sachaku al mishbateha, that tsar is off the charts. When you combine, it's a beautiful interpretation, and you take the beginning of the pasuk, it doesn't mean seem like Rashi, derech pshat. Derech pshat is remember the Chorban, and because of the Chorban, so now, currently, we're suffering. Okay? But a deeper interpretation is remember the yegiah that went into to raise, to accomplish, that and contributes to the greater tzav Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop over here.
I put out the Mishpat Svid and Loza Levi, my brother who I named there, got lost in the death march of the Marshal from the 40th Mile. So, enjoy.
Tikkun.
You're welcome.
Yeah,